Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. The translation is from the New Revised Standard Version. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." May God bless this reading to our hearing and understanding. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. We give thanks to Melinda for this gift of music, which she provides us each week, as well as express our gratitude for all she does as Harmony's worship leader and as an activist for the betterment of this world in which we live. Amen. Amen. So, this has been some kind of week, huh? Having carefully tiptoed into the hopeful promise of the new year 2021, after experiencing the pandemic and political chaos of 2020, and then, on this past Wednesday, January 6th, on a day which was unprecedented in our nation's recent history, I kept hearing commentators and spectators, politicians and others exclaiming, and many doing so through the shedding of their tears, these six words: "This is not who we are. This is not who we are." Well, buckle up, Buttercup. How ironic that of all days, on January 6th, this was the day of Epiphany, remembering when the Magi brought gifts to visit and honor the Christ child. When Jesus, who is God incarnate, is revealed to the world as Lord. And the irony here, that the term Epiphany means to reveal, to make known, to show. And oh, how much was shown and made known in who we are. Insurrection, desecration, violence, discrimination, hurt and pain, deaths, all in an attempt to intimidate, coerce, and overturn the democratic processes for which this country stands. That those involved in these acts of domestic terrorism were mainly white, and this insurrectionist mob displayed chilling symbols of white supremacy while assaulting police inside our nation's iconic symbol of democracy, all in an effort to halt the constitutional process of completing Joe Biden's election to the presidency. This is who we are. At least that's how we as a nation are showing up. Furthermore, if that mob of rioters had been mainly made up of any other color than white, black, brown, Native American, we well know a deep and wide river of blood would have horrendously flowed. And that speaks directly to our deep-seated racism and nationalistic behavior doing its absolute worst to try and separate us from God. I still shudder at the image of the Confederate flag being confidently and brazenly waved inside the halls of the U.S. Capitol. Y'all, I was born and raised in the South. And folks can Southern pride me all they want to with the Confederate flag. While pride is part of our human condition, to be proud of what you've accomplished, here, in the Confederate flag of hate and oppression being raised in our Capitol, was an in-your-face example of false pride. The false pride of those wanting to take us back to whenever they perceived America was great. The false pride of sheer arrogance, a sense of entitlement, and that for which has the potential for violence and did produce violence. We saw that clearly, who we are. And just like Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. This type of pride, false pride, it's actually a prison. This is a prison with bars around one's heart in which the person refuses to see the need for change or the need to change. The refusal to admit that as time moves on, so do we. Friends, it is time to end Christian nationalism, xenophobia, homophobia, greed, the marriage between political party and religion, and time to end contempt for the very people of Christ is pointing us towards. As Aaron Hawkins, who is CalPAC's executive director of Connectional Ministries, pointed out in a social media post, systems based on winners and losers, the haves and have-nots, the powerful and the powerless, these systems are never truly in service to humanity or the earth we inhabit. And it is time for us to repent, tying us into our new Season of Epiphany sermon series, Forgive. And this morning, centering a scripture passage from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. In the story shared within this gospel account, there's John the Baptist who proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And many people, they were desperately craving for a deep connection with the Holy One, for God's affirming love and acceptance. And they confessed their sins and were baptized by John in the River Jordan. This living, breathing prophet of protest, the right kind of protest, was offering God's grace through repentance. A baptism that was God's initiative, that was God's doing. And it wasn't being offered cheaply, this grace. Those deeply yearning in their hearts for connection, for God's direction, and a need for forgiveness were faced with a choice. The choice to change. The choice to put aside their old ways of living, to repent. To stop hurting themselves and to stop causing harm to their neighbors, to mend and restore those and that which had been broken. They chose to be baptized for a new life and a new identity in how to truly live and abide in the love of God. Well, the same goes for us. Folks, this new identity, guess what? It may not be readily accepted by our family or friends or others. Oftentimes, that's the case. We'll be on the receiving end of voices wanting us to walk down some other path. And that non-acceptance can hurt, really hurt. But the one who readily accepts us and is overjoyed about our new identity is God, the one who makes us whole as we live into this new life. Well, none of this is easy. As I said, it's not cheap, this grace. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote in The Cost of Discipleship, cheap grace is the grace we bestow on ourselves. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate. To those of us as followers of Jesus Christ, this new life, this new identity, it definitely comes at a cost. And it takes a whole lot of courage. As I've said many times before, it requires us to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because when the Holy Spirit cleanses you, it's a cleansing of your life. It's a cleansing of yourself and your heart. Part of that cleansing process, when we're in right relationship with God, is admitting our sin and taking the step of repentance. And the type of repentance that I'm talking about, though, it doesn't just mean saying you're sorry. It means turning around, and that's a radical turn, and going in a whole different direction, going in the direction provided by God so that we live in the kingdom of the Creator in which we'll blossom and thrive. When we repent and return to following the Lord, here's where we experience the coming rule of God as a time of blessing and a time of peace. And if there was ever a time for us to repent, as a nation and as individuals, now's the time to own up to our mistakes and to make right what has been done wrongfully now and for what has gone on for far too long, which takes self-examination and not just going by the say-so of someone else. It requires an inward examination of who we are, what we've done and are doing, the whys and the hows behind that, and the who we want to be, and then live into being as a follower of Christ. I mentioned that part because way too many followers are merely paying lip service to the Lord. All of this takes diligent work. It's tough. But it's got to be a tough, constant examination. However, if we don't do this and follow through, then all we're doing is what I call surface living. We're not living in a new way with a new identity that comes from God. Oh, we may be forgiven, and that's what God does. But that hurt continues within and outside of ourselves. To fully live in Christ, we must continually evaluate, repent when we've done wrong, as well as forgive those who have wronged us. And we're going to get into that further, the forgive those who have wronged us in these coming weeks. When we commit to following Jesus, what do our United Methodist Church baptismal vows say? We are to reject all that is evil, repent of our sin, and accept the freedom and power God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. That means we're standing up to the forces of wickedness. That means we will not stand idly by while so many, especially those who are persons of color and those who are in the LGBTQI plus community, are harmed by the evil powers of racism and injustice. How do we do this? From whom do we draw our strength and courage? Oh, you know. We draw upon none other than the immense power, strength, wisdom, and love coming from God through Jesus Christ. And that's how we'll overcome the forces that do their worst to darken this world with evil and hate, with harm and division. But as we overcome those forces, we must also be careful to not demonize others. As our own Bishop Grant Haghia reminded us this week, the earthly Jesus did take hard political stands, but he never demonized those who were against him. Jesus stood against the religious, political, and economic forces of his day, but it was out of love for them that he made his stand. Well, what are we supposed to do with that? Do likewise. Friends, that's a call to action. Action that lifts up the marginalized, seeks justice for the oppressed, compassion for the poor, and indignation for those who wield power in evil ways, no matter which political party they belong to. But it's also about us calling out the intentional deception and manipulation that's rotting the hearts of Christians. And in that bold call, we need to ask for forgiveness for those we've not cared for those we've not loved, for those we've not supported, for those we've not lifted up as equal and beloved children whom God created. We need to humble ourselves and to acknowledge our privilege and our complicity. And we need to not only create spaces where courageous conversations can be had, but just as importantly, create the space for accountability. We can converse ourselves to death, but without answerability for who we are as followers of Christ and how we act, where are we going to go? We're certainly not going to turn anything around. As Christians, we're called to a higher standard and called to act upon that higher standard. We are called to be the examples of peace and hope. We are called to bear witness to Christ's love and light into this world to ensure each person, every person, is aware of their belovedness. We are called to not go about business as usual on this day or any day. Folks, it's decision time. How will we show up? I'll close my message with this. In about 1 week, on Monday, January 18th, we'll commemorate Martin Luther King Jr. Day, 2 days before the 59th presidential inauguration is held in Washington, D.C. We would do well to reflect and meditate upon what Dr. King shared with our country, and to act upon those words to live to a higher standard for which we've been called upon by God to do. Meditating upon words such as these: forces that threaten to negate life must be challenged by courage, which is the power of life to affirm itself in spite of life's ambiguities. Friends, John the Baptist made it clear he was concerned about everyone connecting with God. But baptism is only a start. It is Christ who deepens that experience. And when making a commitment and following Christ, here's where we are truly changed from the inside out to bring about much needed change for this world. Let us courageously follow the Lord. Amen. Amen. At this time in our worship service, we're going to take a moment now to remember our baptism and the ways in which the waters of grace overflow in our lives. Rev. Dave Bungie, who is such a beloved member of the Harmony Toluca Lake Faith community, is going to lead us in this special moment as we experience God's amazing grace.
You know, Jesus' ministry began, can you hear me? Okay. Let me change my view then, because I still have Pastor Mark as my speaker. Jesus began his ministry being baptized. It was part of his transformation. As Pastor Mark just said, baptism is not a cheap grace, and it's an invitation to hard work and hardship. But that experience, we invite you to have today, as the beginning of this year proceeds, to remember our baptism and to live into the power of what it means. As I prepared for this, I looked at the traditional United Methodist baptismal service, and I was deeply heartened and a little bit surprised at how radical it is. My goodness. Jesus has been at the radical work from the very beginning. As a introduction, let me share with you that the sacrament of baptism, through that we are initiated into Christ's holy community. We are incorporated in God's mighty acts of salvation. We are given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. So what I'd like to do is invite you to those of you who have been baptized, I'm going to ask questions about reaffirming those vows. And as you hear them, I invite you to say a yes deep in your heart. If you're ready to reaffirm, if you're ready to do that. For those who are not baptized or exploring or wondering, I invite you to hear these and see if this way is open to you. Three questions. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Two, do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves, and to be a leader for bringing God's love into the world? And third, do you covenant to enter into the life of the Christian community, these folks we see on the screen, as well as those that are part of our broader Christian community, to worship, to hear the story of the roots of our faith, to be called into response to the gospel, and to be in redemptive relationship with one another, other explorers and believers? I do is my response. As we prepare to experience the flow of water, even virtually, I would like to offer a prayer of blessing for the water that I'll be using for this. And I invite you to try to hear the sound of the water falling into the bowl and what it has meant to our lives through history. Let us be in prayer. Eternal One, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land that you promised. In the fullness of time, you nurtured Jesus in the water of the womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He calls his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Spirit, we pray. By the gift of this water, call to our remembrance the grace declared to us in our baptism. For you have washed away our sins. You've clothed us in righteousness throughout our lives. This is the grace that gives us life. We offer our thanks for your continuing revelation in us. Amen. And now, dear ones, feel this. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Think what it feels like, that the color is, what the texture and the temperature, and that there is this water is flowing over you as God's grace to open up the power and the freedom you have to be God's agent in this world. We are born anew. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rev. Dave. Friends, let's respond to God's call to live together in a new way as the beloved community. A way of love, light, and forgiveness. A way of justice and equality for all of God's children. A way in which violence is rejected and the least among us are cared for. This concludes this morning's worship service. And for those wanting to participate in the question of the day, please stay on Zoom. Otherwise, we look forward to connecting with you next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Peace.